Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Robots Radio presents...
Welcome to the Cyberpunk Lorecast, where style is just as important as substance. Welcome to the podcast where we explore the lore, news, and gameplay of the Cyberpunk games and other dystopian worlds. I'm your host, Robots.
I think we should all do the drum fill together. Welcome back, Cyberpunks, to the Cyberpunk Lorecast. Thank you for hanging in there with our episode last week. Man, we got a whole bunch of listens on that episode and also on the YouTube version of the episode, Logan. Did you see that? I don't know if you saw it online, but like...
No, I didn't.
I think we hit a nerve with a lot of people, and I think the majority of them really, really do agree with our thoughts about the 1.2 patch. But... So if you haven't listened to that episode, go back and listen to it. The patch isn't out yet, but it will, I'm sure, be following up with some more thoughts on that as we get closer to patch day. But today is the end of the month, which means it is the patron episode. I am your host, Tom, or Robots, and I'm here with my co-host, Captain Logan, who is not playing Cyberpunk while we do the podcast. Not at all.
Not playing at all. Definitely not lost on this rooftop trying to find this person.
Oh god!
Totally, 100% attention. What the hell is that?
All right. Well, we're going to move on to the other people who are paying attention. Our patrons are joining us today. We have almost all of our patrons who are able to join us, and a new patron as well. So let's go back through the list. Welcome. I don't know if I should call you JRay21. That's your name on Discord. What would you prefer we call you?
No, I'm just Julian.
Julian.
Ooh. Yeah.
Well,
I
Julian,
like that name.
Julian, I'm glad you were able to join us.
A total thing, just Julian is the name. So when I addressed you, I got to say just Julian.
That's his sitcom on NBC. It's just Julian.
Just.
JJ.
JJ. There we go. He's JJ now.
Uh-oh. You're getting nicknames already.
That's part of what this is. I wasn't toasty before I did this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you became toasty.
Now you're toasty.
By the way, I'm toasty. Hello.
Yeah, by the way, toasty, so Thanatoasted, toasty is back with us, and Kather's back with us also. Kather.
Hi.
How's it going, buddies?
Fine.
Man, I've been playing games with Toasty a lot this last month. We've been playing a lot of Sea of Thieves. We played some Jackbox last night on Saturday. We've been doing these like Saturday game nights or game days for Robots Radio. We've been having lots of fun. So if you aren't hanging out with us on Discord and playing games with us and heck, even joining the shows, then come do that because, man, we have a lot of fun. But today we are talking about a topic very close to Toasty's heart, his cold, frozen heart.
This isn't the Judy episode. This is all of this. It's a lot of cool, badass women in this game. It's not just Judy.
Right. Okay. So this is the episode where we are paying tribute to the badass women of Cyberpunk and discussing them in Cyberpunk 2077. And like subtext, this is the five dudes sitting in a room talking about ladies episode.
I
wish we had a lady. We need a lady. If you are a lady and you like Cyberpunk and you want to join us on the next episode and balance this out, please do.
Come talk about the dudes.
Come talk about the dudes with us.
We can come talk about
about Jude this episode right now. I can talk about Rivers.
We could talk about that, but let's stick with the ladies. Hold on. No. Listen. We got to stick with the ladies. We got to do the ladies first. We got to do the ladies first.
Everyone say hello to Emmerich, who is very excitedly shouting our names in the chat right now.
Yes. Emmerich can't join us. Would be joining us. Might be sending in a recording that I'll tack onto one of the episodes. So, how do we want to start this out? Do we want to start with Judy? I mean, Toasty, Judy.
What about going in consecutive order of how we engage with
like how we came across them in the game?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So
the first one, Judy or Misty?
Yeah, Misty and Judy.
We kind of meet Misty a little bit right there at the beginning.
Right.
So yeah, Misty would be the first one.
Okay. Let's do that.
Rogue.
Let's do that. Let's start with Misty. What are your thoughts on Misty? Anybody have thoughts?
Like adorable.
Cute and adorable.
Not enough of her in the game. Because she's an interesting character. Like, there's the quest with the tarot cards, but she seems like much more of an... she is the person who you have that conversation with when she brings you home because you just went to Vix because of biochip, and, you know, she gives you the necklace and all that. But there should be some legitimate quests. Like, what if she replaces Jackie? Like, I know you do quests with Pan Am and stuff, but, like, what if she's your new, like, sidekick that goes through with you throughout the movie? Because eventually, depending on the ending, you leave behind Pan Am. Judy goes off, and you do have that really great underwater. Did you guys get to that? Did you guys finish her storyline?
I didn't have that experience because of my.
I didn't play through it myself.
Yeah, I've seen
well written.
I've seen stuff about it, but I didn't actually play through it.
But maybe it could be like a what do you call it? Like an expansion where it's like the adventures of V and Misty.
You think Misty would go out with you in the world and like cap people in the head?
No, you know?
No. I don't really feel too spiritual for that.
But I wish there was more Misty because you talked to her so much right before Jackie's funeral. Like, you bond with her so much. And then she just practically is out of the game until you get done with tarot cards. And yet, if you go on her computer or something like that, she has messages from someone else talking about that. Captain brought it up last time or one of the episodes of the monk that you go on the meditations with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
she knows about him. I went to her as soon as I finished that to try to talk to him because Johnny said to go to her, and you can't talk to her about it.
Yeah, it's really weird. It doesn't make sense.
So
she's also the last. I would like because at the very end, right? Whenever you like, they're going through the end credits, and you know people are doing like their final things depending on it. She's always the last one to speak. She's the last person who gives the message at the end of like whatever ending you choose, no matter what, she's always the final one after everybody else goes. And like, I had a lot of people whenever I went through my playthrough, because I did everything. So I had a whole lot of like people talking or whatever, but she's the last one telling you, you know, whatever it's going to be that she's going
to
tell you.
Something to look forward to.
I wonder if that's because she doesn't represent a romantic interest. She represents more of the little family that you had built at the beginning of the game, if that makes sense. Like you and Jackie and Misty and
Vic.
Yeah, Vic. You kind of got this like, and you don't get to explore it a whole lot, but you definitely get the sense that that's like, those are your core people. Those are the people that you know you can rely on, and you go to them when you have something you need, and you spend time with them, and you know, you go get Chinese food with them or whatever. Like they're the people you hang out with, they're your friends, and she's kind of the heart of that. You think maybe that's it?
Is it weird to think that I've always felt that Misty was always kind of like the angel in the game? It's a weird reference for me to make, but there's always one person that feels very disconnected from the entire story going on. Like she's connected to, you know, she's connected in ways, but not in the same way. Like for example, Arasaka doesn't come after her. They come after Vic to get, to get Jackie's body in essence. And she's always just kind of like in the wings waiting. So whenever I think about her, I always genuinely think of her as just this like this angel who is just kind of watching over you and Jackie and just kind of being present. And so because of that, I always wonder, like, you know, what would she do in the game if she wasn't that? Like, where would she actually intervene in situations? And I really have a hard time wondering, like, her life feels so disconnected yet so integral to what you do in the game that I don't know where you would go with that story other than having her try and mentally sort out your brain the way that she does with Jackie. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be an interesting place to maybe go with her story.
So,
but I do kind of wonder, like, where do you go?
Another thing that's interesting about her is she represents, in a game that's all about technology and humanity, like people, grit, technology, the real world, and the terribleness of the real world, she represents spirituality and the supernatural.
Yeah.
Yeah, then that ties to the angel side of it, like the tarot cards and the fact that the tarot cards are actually foreshadowing things, like this little bit of a hey, even in this weird, crazy technology future, there is maybe some truth to the supernatural, which is interesting. Yeah. It's very unique in the whole span of the game.
Well, she like predicts. I mean, that's the thing is like you can go back to her throughout the game. And like at different parts and get your tarot read. Like she'll lay down the cards for you and it's always true,
right,
to what you're doing.
Right.
And it's like you have to think about that. It's like, you know, they got all the technology, you got all this stuff, but it's like is that supernatural side, like it has to be real, right? If there's she's reading you there. This accurately.
Yeah.
And like it has to be real. Which yeah. I would like to point out, I've always liked that contrast of her shop being on top of Vic's shop, where it's like, definitely. Here, come get your cyber enhancements and tarot if you want to. It's right there. Together, cool, like, spirituality and technology just like kind of like merged together.
It's kind of like in a world where magic can be explained by technology, you know, so they kind of work hand in hand. Like, so, and another thing is, like, one of the reasons she feels like an angel watching over us is because she gives us the red and the blue pills. She helps us, like, she gives us the ability to play through the rest of the game and decide our fate. Every time we let Johnny take over or do a job ourselves, we can go back and think, okay, so Misty provided us with this choice.
Yeah, solid point.
Like, yeah, she does feel like kind of detached because she's not really like current throughout the whole game, but she only like is alluded to, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a solid point.
Taylor? It seems like she it could like I know it's not, but always in my back of my head, I always thought like they could easily just pop out that she's secretly something else the whole time because like we just don't know that much about her, and she's like they're saying she's in the background and stuff. So I was always like in the back of my head like I would not be surprised.
Yeah.
If like something came out later on.
Right.
We really don't though. Like she's kind of an enigma to because it's like she never really talks about her past. Like you get to know about her and Jackie's relationship, obviously, which you know, but that's like the main thing. Plus there's this whole fact that like if you kind of like look at the details or whatever, like she kind of takes care of Victor too.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're obviously very close, like at least like the whenever Victor finally delivers the news to you about, you know, you're dying with the chip and whatnot, you know, you can tell he gets really like cracked up and upset, and he like calls for Misty, like, you know, which apparently shows that she's like literally right there, like you don't see her, but she's right there apparently as she comes wheeling into the frame. And then and obviously we're discussing a lot about the characters, so spoilers are going to be a thing that happens.
Yeah, at this point spoilers are just going to be a part of it. Yeah.
If you go with the suicide ending,
is that actually an option?
Yes, you can go with the suicide ending. You can.
I've heard about it.
They offer you the red pills and the blue pills, but they also offer you a gun.
Oh, grab the gun
in case you want to end it.
I did that ending the first time because I thought it might be the right answer because I figured it was the only way to screw Arasaka.
It's you basically don't see much out of it.
You die. You die, and you get some credits, and everybody's pissed off that you killed yourself because they think you were being selfish. Much. And the reason I chose it was because I think it was I figured it was the only way to totally screw over Arasaka and keep them from like getting what they
wanted. Recovering.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting Johnny and getting yourself to potentially do research on your mind.
Too. Right. Right.
And one thing I was thinking, if Misty represents someone who's who lives in a world she doesn't want to exist in. And she's, you know, in love with this guy who's infatuated with the whole concept of, like, you know, shooting your way to the top. And so there's kind of this dynamic where she wants to be in, you know, more of a serene environment, yet the guy she loves, and you can't control who you love. She's kind of has to battle, you know, being with someone who literally wants to be in a position of death in order to become a king of Night City or a legend of Night City.
Sure.
Well, she's the balance in that situation. You could tell
she's like, the heart. Yeah. She's the emotional very heart.
Balances out.
Yeah.
But I was going to say about
the pepper to Tony Stark.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was going to say about the suicide ending is that like there's the part where Vic, like, it's Vic's time to talk. And Vic wants to yell at you and be really mad at you, but, like, Misty's on the side of that conversation, basically balancing his temperament. Like, saying, like, you know, it's okay to speak from the heart, you know, but, like, she's, like, right there, like, taking care of him whenever he's obviously very upset. So, there's, like, that dynamic of the relationship that I would like to learn about, because it's like y'all are very close even though you literally represent the two opposites of this world.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And
Misty's the interesting one, because I, as much as this world is about, you know, like surviving on your own and doing what's best for you and being okay with murder and, you know, genocide, things like that, Misty is that one character who above all has the highest sense of empathy without revenge. And that's a really interesting thing to have in this game where you don't have that. So having her as a connection point to the main characters that you interact with, at least at the beginning, really kind of gives you that grounding sense that if you're not okay with this, you're not alone. And that's something that you wouldn't normally, I wouldn't normally expect out of Night City. I wouldn't expect anywhere in Night City to be someone that is holistically empathetic to everyone and wants there to be nonviolence more than anything. Because at least with even some of the people that we can get into, Rogue is a good example of someone who has empathy because she cares. She wants people to survive and to thrive, but she's totally okay with murder and screwing people over, which is, you know, counter to being empathetic towards people. And Misty is very much that person that really does look at everything and everyone equally and trusts that, you know, everything will work out for you if it's in the cards. And she relies so heavily on that spiritualism that it kind of borders along the side of why she has that connection with the monk, who is looking to have peace, to have balance, to have understanding, and to have accountability and empathy that is so void, or so much sort of void in Night City in general.
So we, unfortunately, we only have so much time for the episode. We've talked a lot about Misty, which was awesome because we haven't really discussed her before. And I think that you guys have some really great insight in this. I'm not sure we're going to be able to get through all the interesting women because there's so many interesting women. Why don't we pivot to Rogue? I think that's probably a natural pivot since you brought her up and the fact that she is empathetic, but not completely. What are your thoughts on her? And why don't we just make sure we hit just kind of the main ones that we want to talk about? I have a feeling Rogue's probably one of them, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you guys think about her? What do you think about Rogue?
Yes.
Badass.
That's what I was thinking too, yeah.
But I just got literally, I got through the Chip and End mission. I think it's that one. Or no, is it the Person in Hearts? But the one where you go on the date with Rogue.
Mm.
Oh,
near the end. But just to, like, you get to learn so much about her, how, like, Johnny and her still love each other, even though there was alt and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Rogue kind of was like the one if Johnny wasn't such an ass.
Right?
Or.
Big surprise.
Yeah, surprise. Johnny being an ass. But, if. Like, now that Johnny's kind of grown a little bit through death, very little, obviously.
But a little bit. He has some character development.
He's grown a little bit because he's realized that he, like, depending on how the dialogue turns, he does realize that Rogue was kind of the one.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff. Like, just realizing that she wants that to happen too, but stuff's changed now since the years.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to see some of the emotions that Rogue has there, like, of wish things were different and stuff. So she has regrets.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that in 2077, Rogue must be 70?
Yeah. She does not look it.
And she is still kicking ass. Like, she's...
We know that
genetics do.
Yeah. We know that things can be prolonged. I mean, Saburo Arasaka was 150 plus years old.
Sure.
That dude was ancient. So, like, 70 is nothing nowadays.
70 is the new 40.
70 is the new 40.
Especially with
relics in it now, technically, you can just get a new body if you pay enough for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The relic.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of touched up on something. It's like the dynamic between her and Johnny. You have kind of the humanism balancing out the lack of humanism. And what's also cool about Johnny, he has kind of three pivotal moments of change. Like, when you go back into his memory, you know, he's shooting into a crowd. That was him in his physical self. When he's in his engram form, he's kind of in a place of instability where he has kind of a lack of self-purpose and definition. He doesn't know how to navigate this world, really. And then once he, if you choose the ending where he takes over V's body, he's greatly matured. And so you kind of see the life of Johnny evolve way more than V or any other character. And that's just a really interesting thing to have with the main character of a game.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like throughout all those transformations, you know, Alt humanized him. Rogue humanizes him. Misty humanized Jackie. But I guess Pan Am sort of humanizes you because you're kind of desensitized to death and murder in this world because there's so much around it. You don't think too much, and having a companion. Well, I guess Misty would help with that more than Pan Am.
And Judy humanizes you against other people's plights too, because worrying about the sex worker. So both the women, most of the women in this game humanizes you to be less murder.
That's true.
But the
flip side, real quick, just to take that idea of like how Rogue influences Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Johnny's influence on her was to make her more tough and hard and resilient?
Because, as a byproduct, yes,
because she's clearly
a dick.
Yeah,
it hardens you up.
Yeah, but by 2077, she is known as like the best in the business. Like, you don't mess with her. She's the best in the business. She's got connections with everyone. She knows what she's a living legend in the city, right? And the only way you achieve that is through a certain amount of like resilience. And the version of her that you meet in the flashback sequence isn't the version of her that you deal with, you know, in 2077, right? She's changed. She's a different person by then.
I think you can mess with her. When I was younger, she was drunk on Johnny's power.
Yeah.
But afterwards, she's hardened up because of the aftermath and the effects of it all. She knows how kind of like primal and destructive this world is, and she kind of has put up this wall to protect herself and stay alive. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that's, I feel like it's not necessarily how John made her feel, it was what happened after she blew up Arasaka Tower with him.
Right.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for him wanting it to happen. Yeah. Like, she
don't really
just kept getting pulled into it.
Yeah.
They don't really touch on it exactly, but there's also that aspect of the fact that, like, because of the original 2020 crew that, like, they talk about. Granted, I haven't gone as much into the tabletop stuff, but it was like, it was like her, Johnny Silverhand, Morgan Blackhand, like that group,
right?
that group is all gone except for her.
Yeah.
And wherever Morgan Blackhand and is, Carrie. Because they heavily imply that he's not actually dead.
Right.
Were they even in the flashback? I don't remember.
Waylon was in it. He was on the turret, then he got murdered or whatever.
Yeah, Waylon died. I don't remember.
I don't think Morgan Blackhand was in there at all.
No. Yeah, so. Well, he would have been away at that point because he set them on the path and gave them the helicopter and the guns and stuff, but he never followed them into the tower from what I recall.
Yeah, because all I remember sounds them right. being there is Rogue, Waylon, and that's all I
Spider remember. Was there too.
Spider was there. You're right.
She was a badass too. If you listen to her dialogue, it's
funny.
She's snarky.
She's very like sarcastic and like bullets flying everywhere, and she's just kind of like, you know.
Can I push back on one point that you guys were talking about? You guys were talking a bit about, and I don't want to call out on this because I don't think that this was the intent, but I want to say that Rogue would have been the badass that she is in 2077, even without Johnny. I think Johnny was a casualty of war when it came to her affection and her love. But I do think that Rogue would have been there. I think Johnny dying was the thing that got him out of the way so that she could actually pursue what she was expecting to do in the first place. I don't think Johnny that she was necessarily
interesting.
A blocker is what. Yeah, I agree with you. Johnny was in the way because he was saying everything's his idea. Well, she's the one that put all the plans together.
And he's
he's just a spark, but she's the one that actually built organized all this intricate badass plan.
Yeah,
he was Johnny was the face of it in that situation where he was the dude who could be the rocker boy to go out and sway,
motivate
like the temperament of the people.
Yeah,
but that's all. It's pretty much all he was capable of. He was drunk and high the rest of the time. So.
Yeah. And the reason why I bring that up is because of Carrie. Carrie, his career thrived when Johnny was out of the picture. Yeah. So I've always felt that Johnny was always the drug, quote unquote, that they were addicted to, that they were just in love with his passion and his enthusiasm. And because of that, they always felt like addicted to him. So when they got clean of him, that's when they really stepped up and came into their own, Carrie and Rogue both. So that's why I always think like if Rogue would have been able to get where she was without Johnny. And I think, yes, but I think if Johnny had still been around, I don't think that she would be in the position that she would be. She would be right in the same position that she was when he was alive, which was always on the side or dead. Yeah. Honestly,
it's an interesting analogy.
No offense. If you keep doing a drug, it'll eventually kill you.
Right. Right.
Yep.
Yeah. That's an interesting analogy. Side note, Spider Murphy being a net runner. Do we mean any net runners that aren't snarky?
Fair enough.
I think they all are.
Right.
I think they're all like, oh, God, I'm so much smarter than everyone else. Shut up.
That one.
T-Bug.
Yeah, no,
she's snarky.
Yeah,
anyway,
snarky or scared.
Well, yeah, just a side note. I'm sorry, I derailed things a little bit. Shaitan was there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
But didn't he get killed? Someone.
He did get killed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much everyone died in that situation. The thing is, though,
without Johnny, do you think they would have become Night City legends? They probably wouldn't have bombed Arasaka.
I think Johnny was the motivation. Johnny was the one who was able to say, we should do this crazy thing, even though you guys don't think we can do it. We can do it. Like, he was the one that pushed them far enough.
Confidence.
Right.
I don't think Rogue is... Maybe I didn't like notice this as much in the game. I don't think Rogue is known for that. I think she's known for being the best fixer in Night City.
Yes.
Which is even better of a thing for her, because that's literally, it's not from someone else's glory that she got her fame. She worked for it, and she became the best, and she did it herself without anyone else.
I will say that there is a point like where Johnny is kind of that catalyst. Like, he sparks a fire in people. Yeah. And
that's the word I was looking for.
Yeah. If anything, I would say that they may not be in the same position that they are, but they would still be successful wherever they wanted to end up if it weren't for Johnny. But I do agree that Johnny helped bring something out in them that caused them to get down the path that eventually took them to become the best fixture, to become an amazing rock artist and stuff. So he is
like Nitrous, like he sped along their career.
Yeah, he was the Adolf Hitler quickly. And Rogue was the Heinrich Himmler.
Let's back it up.
Hey, Guardians, we are the Destiny Show Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things Destiny 2. We invite amazing guests from the Destiny community to share their stories and discuss the latest topics from the world of Destiny. Check us out on Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, or live on Twitch every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. We will see you, Starside.
I don't think we want to bring Nazis into
this. He's a good public speaker. He had all these crazy ideas, but the people underneath him actually pulled them off.
Killed a lot of people.
Is there anyone else that we can pick that maybe?
Okay, wait. We were talking about Apple in the pre-show. We were talking about Apple.
Okay, so he's Steve
Jobs.
Cook.
He was the Steve Jobs, right? And yeah, Rogue. Yeah. Is who's the other guy that worked with Steve Jobs? The guy that did all the programming.
Wozniak.
Yeah, Rogue is Wozniak. That's a better analogy, right?
Yeah, that's a lot
like,
safer.
Steve Jobs safer comes up with the crazy stuff and is like, we can do this. We can come up with this crazy thing. I'm going to wear a turtleneck. I'm going to talk to people and we're going to motivate everyone to get behind it. And then Wozniak was like the one going, okay, well, let's figure out how to actually do this. And then actually made it happen.
I'm sure that's going to sound absolutely wonderful on an audio platform whenever they listen to this.
Hitler.
No, not Hitler.
Okay, not Hitler.
You can only bring up Hitler if you're talking historically or a video game killing him.
right.
Only safe options.
Yeah, the only things that are good to kill that you can actually kill in video games without anybody complaining are Nazis, zombies, and robots. Those are the three things.
They should combine it. Zombie, robot, Nazis.
Nazi zombie robots. Wait.
Or aliens. Zombies.
Or aliens. Well, doesn't like the Wolfenstein game has like Nazi zombie robots?
Yeah.
Anyway, we're getting sidetracked here. Okay, so let's move on from Rogue. Who else do we want to cover?
I want to talk about Evelyn.
Evelyn.
I was just about to say Parker.
I want to talk about Evelyn Parker.
Okay.
Poor.
So the thing that gets me with her is I didn't pay attention as much to this, but I was listening to a different podcast where people were talking about Evelyn. What? No.
Traitor! How dare you?
What? But they were talking about Evelyn. Oh, look, I want to listen to all the Cyberpunk podcasts.
Okay, that's fine.
They were
good
talking
too.
About Evelyn, and they said basically Evelyn was like she was. You know how there's like walking the line. She went beyond that, because if you think about it, she makes a deal with the Voodoo Boys and plans on screwing them over.
Yeah.
She makes a deal with Dexter Desan and then plans on screwing him over. She does not care. She knows that she's taking two of the biggest names. I mean, I guess the Voodoo Boys aren't a big name because nobody knows about them.
But they're powerful.
But they're powerful. Yeah. And Dexter Desan. Yeah. Right. And also people know not to mess with Dexter Desan.
Sure.
He's a name.
Yeah.
And it's like, she's just like, I'm going to do it.
So is she a fool or is she brave?
I think she's ignorant.
I'll be honest. I think that she's an agent of chaos. I think she is like a succubus incarnate.
Only cares about herself,
like the Joker.
Yeah, and I think that Cloud.
I disagree with that, Kather. I will disagree with that to the end of the earth.
I can see from other people's perspectives, but to me personally, the way she treated a lot of people, it's like she was selfish. She may not have, she cared about them, but her needs came first.
I'll say she's selfish, but I will say that I think she cared about Judy.
Only one. Judy was about the only one, but she didn't care about Judy as much as she should have. for what Judy did for her.
I think that's because of a sense of ambition. She saw a world where she could have power and money and get away from Night City. And I think that's what she wanted for her and Judy. But I think that she needed to take some big risks and that she was willing to gamble on those risks to try and actually get what she needed. I think that's why she offered you to break away from Dexter, because she was she wasn't planning on being in a city where she would have to deal with Dexter at some point. And if she had gotten what she needed, I could totally see her not wanting to be in Night City anymore and taking Judy with her.
So you were saying that
I think she saw other people as tools, and she saw what her destiny was supposed to be, and that clouded her judgment of what are the realistic steps you need to take to get up there. So, I mean, an agent of chaos would be Silverhand, but Evelyn Parker is closer to manipulator. And I also think that there's kind of this combination of ignorance of how serious issues are, but the naivete comes in when she's like, she's kind of naive in the sense that she doesn't really expect any consequences to her actions, or she doesn't want to believe there are any. But if you guys go to the end of the game, and if you play where Johnny takes over the body, you go to the cemetery, you'll see her name on one of the plaques too. It's actually a trip. They do a Roy Batty tribute. Also.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. Well, there's the hotel, and then there's also his grave also, and that was kind of a cool.
I mean, they'll pay. Like, you don't even have to wait till the end of the game. Like, when people die in the game, their names will pop up in the cemetery.
Oh, you can go there.
Yeah, there's other other NPCs that aren't even as significant, but you'll hear about them. Like, you can go after the point, like after the heist, you can go back, and the mayor's got a thing in there too. The mayor that died. Man.
These are the little details that make me think that like they were headed towards this being a real role playing game, and then they were like, "We're doing too much. We have to just get it out."
Yeah.
So I mean, one thing I was talking to Tom about, I wish I could just sit down in on a bench and watch the city move like you do in New York City or Montreal or somewhere.
Yeah.
I just want to watch the city play out. There's so much potential, yet it feels so hollow also.
Right. Right. All right. So go ahead, Logan.
Sorry, I just wanted to, I do want to push and say that with Evelyn, I don't know that I would agree that it's a naivety to her character in the sense that she's not expecting consequences. I think she's expecting consequences. I think that her time at Clouds and the life that she led before when she was a doll and the life that she's had the risks that she's taking, she was presented with an opportunity that was so good that she was really willing to risk everything to try and make it out with this tech to sell to the Voodoo Boys so that she could get away from Night City, because I think she was just over it. I think she was just done. She thought that she saw this as a golden ticket and really wanted to try and do it. And the world just collapsed around her and took her down with her.
Desperation plays a role in that then?
100%.
Yes. Yeah.
For sure. But I would agree with Logan's. Like, I think she was fully aware of what could happen if things went wrong. But she knew it was a risk that she had to take. Like,
Do you think she was like overconfident? Like, she didn't think she'd fail.
I don't think she was really like. Because if you think about it, right?
The
heist is totally doable. You pretty much, like,
the thing that
messes up everything that
he
decides to kill his dad.
Right.
And it's like, you do not predict that.
The timing was just bad. There's no way
to predict that.
Had he not shown up at all right then, you probably could have gotten away with it.
Yeah, if he'd been like 5 minutes later, you'd have been down the elevator, out of the hotel, in the Delamain cab, down the street, in a story, making bank.
Yep. All right, guys, let's keep moving because we only got like 20 minutes left, and I know there's so much to talk about. We've talked about Pan Am before. on the show. I know you guys have thoughts about her. We've talked, we haven't really done Judy yet. We've been waiting to do Judy. Other than those two, because I feel like those two could take an entire episode, like if we wanted to do them next month, right?
Probably.
Who else? Who else is there? Is there anyone else that we really want to cover?
Oh, do you remember that couple? You do a mission
the
for
mayor,
that? Husband
the,
and wife.
The wannabe the mayor.
Was that the mayor?
He's running for mayor against the mayor's murderer and bulldog. The mayor's
bulldog.
And you
bulldog. End
up in
their like mansion.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Elizabeth and that was... her name's Elizabeth. That's the wife's name is Elizabeth, and I can't pronounce it. It begins with a P.
Perez. I think.
Perez, thank you. Elizabeth Perez, and I can't remember her husband's name, but they're the ones that are having their brains kind of chemistry messed with, so they're...
That was such a trippy mission.
That was total terrifying.
Recall. It's like, I get Total Recall vibes from it, when it's what's going on.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
So,
That mission was... I think, for me, the scariest mission in the game.
But it was one of the... best. It was so well written and like so cool. Like, did you not realize there was this trap door in your own house?
And they're just watching you. But
pretty creepy.
I got text messages
like a
later on from him. But, is she really in on it?
Yeah,
I think so.
Maybe
she's in on it. So
she tells you not to tell him. She tells you not to tell him about it. Like, she knows something's going on. Enough to know that he should know about
just
it.
Just worried about him.
Oh, he goes absolutely nuts if you tell him. By the way, I did that him. Line. He's yeah, you totally get that part at the end credits, and he's lost it. He's completely bonkers at that point.
I
the only badass woman else I could think about is Mama.
Mama Wells.
Jackie's Mama Wells. I was going to bring up Jackie's mom. Yeah. I was going to mention that.
Yeah.
Well,
and she's part of that family we were talking about earlier.
What were you going to say?
You guys are missing one.
To say something.
Yeah, you guys are missing like one of the main women that you deal with that like she's not a romance option.
Alt. You're talking about Alt? No. You're talking about Bug?
Nope.
T-Bug? No.
You guys are missing it.
T-Bug died too early. We only get to know about her.
Yeah.
Not talking about Alt, not talking about T-Bug, not talking about...
is it the race car driver girl?
Claire.
Oh,
that's it.
Yeah.
Oh. Talking about Claire,
right?
What, the beast in me.
Bartender.
Yeah, what do you guys think about her? Yeah, she's got kind of an interesting double thing going on, you know?
Yeah, especially when you find out that... I don't want to... this may... I mean, just put my phone out, but she's a trans woman.
Yep. Trans.
I like that. Husband. I like they had someone in that looked like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in a world where you can augment your body and change things, then
like a snap of a finger, you just like, I don't want
to. Yeah. It makes sense that they would have technology to make that even more accessible than we would today. Like, if you don't feel like you were born into the body that suits you, then, you know, why not change?
She got married with Dean.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, Kather.
I do not agree with her, but she went out the deep end when her husband got killed, kind of.
That's the crazy thing is like you wouldn't expect this bartender to pull you aside and be like, hey, you want to do some races with me, and then come to find out like it's a revenge murder case, and you're just
the
like,
whole time just she just wants to kill someone this whole time from? Over an accident.
You know what's sad?
Yeah,
I didn't do those because the driving dynamics are so crappy.
Oh yeah.
No,
it turned me off. I'm a hardcore Forza guy.
You'll be in first,
so like,
miles away,
I stand it.
And they'll just snap right up on you and knock you out, and then you're suddenly just in last.
That annoyed me so much in those races. I'm over here, like, I'm blowing y'all out of the water, but because the game wants to keep it close, you're just teleporting behind me.
Yeah.
It's like, stop.
You see the little flickers, but no,
you see the flickers
very interesting,
the
though.
Yo, those are the little things that take you out of the immersion of the game, also.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wanted to bring up Claire because that was one of those situations where there was...
Like, where'd this come from?
Well, she was passionate about something and to the point of murdering someone. But it was like one of those situations where everyone in Cyberpunk has a back story to them, you know, in noir fashion. Everyone has a tragedy. Everyone is damaged goods. And you look at this bartender and she's telling you about these great drinks and she doesn't seem to have like any kind of major passion. Yeah, she seems
totally cool when you first meet her, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, so then no hint of anything.
Yeah. So when you get to that point and it's like, no, she wants to murder this guy because of an accident. You're just like, okay,
wait,
take a moment. Let's just talk about this. Let's think this through. You can't do this. And you have to choose, like, are you going to help her with this? Are you going to help her? And you kind of feel bad because you're like, you don't know the full story. So I'm curious.
It doesn't really matter if you choose not to help her, though, because I said, don't kill him. Spoiler alert, but she's walking away. I get out of the way and she turns around and just shoots the guy.
Yeah. But it's set on it.
You can probably stop that, right? Like if you just keep driving. Mm-hmm. Well, if you keep driving, you have to follow him down, which I didn't do. I followed him because I wanted to see
what would happen,
how it played out. And you know, I was playing Corpo, so I was just kind of like, you know, Arasaka betrayed me, so this dude is supported by Arasaka. Kill him. Go ahead, do it. I don't care. Yeah, kill him. Yeah. Put a bullet in his brain, or I will.
Yeah, the character I'm playing is supposed to be like a demon, so I was like, temptation, like, do it.
Yeah.
Kill him. Murder him.
Do it.
I will feel like that one was kind of... That was a quest to me that wasn't very fulfilling, I think. Like, it was obviously a good thing, and the story part of it was good. It just... I don't know. I wasn't satisfied because I feel like she was more broken afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I feel like you let her kill this dude and now she has nothing. Like,
but she had her revenge. Sometimes feeling reality.
I mean, that's how it is in real life. Like, you hold on to this revenge and that's what you have and you hold on to it and you let it burn in you. And once you have that chance to finally fulfill that revenge, you have nothing left after that.
Yeah.
And that's,
I think that was the goal. Yeah. I think that was the point that they were trying to get across, is that there is an emptiness that comes with that kind of hatred, that even when you're done, you don't have anything afterwards. There's nothing left except the sorrow that, sure. Did you get the guy that got your guy? Yeah. Did it bring him back? No. And in true kind of noir fashion, you know, it's like Hamlet, man, everyone dies. And at that point, there's nothing positive about that message. It's just one of those fables. That's like, don't do it. Don't let that eat away at you and stuff.
Was Hamlet the first noir?
I always considered it.
Really? Is this a real thing? Because I'd never thought about it. Like, I'd never thought.
I don't know if it's
like, obviously it's a role, obviously it's a tragedy, right? And like in typical Shakespearean tragedy, like the hero dies in the end, and the decisions they make radiate out, and other people die as well, and bad things happen, right? And like you can kind of follow through with their decision making and how it all fell apart, right? So, but is it, I don't know, I guess this is another topic for another time. Like what makes something noir rather than just tragedy?
Yeah.
And when does that genre start? I bet somebody has written some sort of doctoral thesis on this, but yeah, that's a really interesting concept. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. I've always felt like it was the first noir, just because how everyone's damaged, how everyone dies. And it's not 1920s, but if you look at a lot of noir, boy, it feels like Hamlet.
Yeah. Hamlet was my favorite, Shakespeare. I studied in high school. You know, you study a number of different Shakespeare stories. Interesting stuff. Okay. Man, now my brain is off on this other tangent. Okay. Sorry. Any back, other Tom, women? Okay. Wait, okay. Okay. So we've got just a few minutes left. All right. Let's take a vote. Judy or Pan Am?
Y'all are the ones that are going to have struggles over that. Go ahead. I know where I stand. I have my
And help. I'm not saying specifically, like, who is your favorite or romantic interest or which one's better or which one's, like, just if you had to pick one for whatever reason.
That's kind of what you're asking.
For whatever reasons. Just if you just had to pick one. It doesn't have to be romantic either.
Because of all those reasons, Judy, Tom. Judy,
okay, listen, you guys are a bunch of, I'm assuming we're all straight white guys. I don't know. Maybe you're not. But, like, if...
Nah.
if you're not a straight white guy, you're still not going to be into either of them, like, romantically, right? But, like, Judy's not going to be interested in any of us. Like, no. Right?
Well, that's but the thing. I think to be informed, you have to play as both female V and male V.
Right.
And right now I'm on my second time through playing Corpo female V, and I actually like it way more because it feels a bit more canon right now. The beginning I much prefer, but I feel like you need to really make it through the whole game both to make a decision.
Sure.
So I went on a rant. That was stupid. Sorry.
No, no, that totally that makes sense. I get it.
I'm right there with him. Actually, I plan on playing through both as both the hetero and homosexual relationships mm-hmm. in the game because I feel like to understand all the characters, mm-hmm. I want to see both sides of all you know every aspect.
Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah.
All right. Just open face question: Judy or Pan Am?
We haven't talked Judy. I feel like we need to.
I like Judy.
Why don't we wait until next?
You want to wait? You don't want to make a choice based on what you know right now. You can always change your mind in the future.
Oh, I have my choice. You like, know my.
We know.
Choice.
We know you're pro Judy.
What is your?
If I had to pick, I would pick Judy.
He's pro Judy.
That's the last episode I was in. I was talking about Judy.
Yeah, she. It seems like she's a bit more. There's a bit more mystery to her, and that makes that character a bit more intriguing.
I think it depends on like, I guess the story that you're drawn to,
yeah. mm-hmm.
which it and I'm always drawn to like the darker stories. Like, Panem has a great family vibe. Like, you know, yeah. like being part of the
yeah.
with her, it's also the Aldecaldos and everything. So it's like you're part of a family. But like, I feel like you get that either way. Regardless of you're with her or not.
True.
But
she's more of a gal friend to me, like when you go out and get drinks with like she's like hype, all hyper and like yeah. has more energy inside of her and stuff. Like I don't feel like I could sit down and just cuddle with her. But Judy, I think yeah, I can sit down
or
and cuddle
get
and
into
talk
a
about
really
stuff
deep
with.
Conversation.
Judy's her whole storyline is deep. Like it's
yeah
her drowned city
everything. And it's
well that's what's so cool. I like how it takes you out of Night City, but still informs you about kind of the effects of Night City. You know, with Pan Am, it doesn't really do that. It kind of removes you from, you know, this wild place.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I don't know.
All right, who would you rather be friends with?
Pan Am. Yeah,
Judy,
because she's more fun.
Yeah, but I feel like she would get a bit irritating after a long time.
Okay.
I'm sorry, she's too hyper for me.
Okay, no, that's fine. I mean, it's fair.
She has a problem with her family, problem. Though, too.
Yeah, too complicated.
Who would you rather work with as like a coworker?
Judy.
So much more chill.
Level-headed.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Judy's level-headed.
You'd never get tired with work with her because you'd be
it's
like...
It's always exciting.
Something's always happening.
Something's going to happen. All right.
She said it herself. Something always happens.
Who would you rather be your sister?
Yeah, I'm
Pan Am.
I can't rightfully say Judy because
yeah.
I love her.
So. Yeah, I can't say Judy, but I would pick Judy.
Oh, no, I'd rather neither.
I want Misty.
Captain,
can I pick
Logan,
Misty?
Are you
can you pick
still
Misty?
Playing Cyberpunk?
Yeah, Misty. Misty, we're gonna get
no.
Yeah. How can you like? Okay, we all know what they did with Pan Am, right? You first meet her. What's she doing? Think about it. We don't have to say anything about it. But when you first meet Pan Am. What is the very prominent feature that
Megan Fox? The like, Megan Fox.
You
do the exactly. Megan Fox.
I don't think
leaning
I
over the car thing for anybody who yeah, yeah. I got you. All right. So it's hard to answer that question. So how about this one? Who would you rather be your mom?
No.
No. No.
Can we not?
This is so much easier. Why are you guys are killing me here? This is
I
easy.
feel like I mean, okay, I can't say any I can't make Judy a family member here.
I would rather
can't.
I would definitely rather allowed. Judy be my
I feel
mom
like
than
Judy
Pan
would
Am
be a
my
better mom though.
Yeah,
like, she's not think, as
yeah, Judy would
crazy.
Be Judy would be the cool mom. Pan
right.
Can I see Pan
Am would
Judy
be like
be the better mom.
Oh my god.
I don't want her to be my
you
mom.
Know what,
can I say
okay.
be
like
the better mom?
Yeah.
Like Spider-Man's aunt. That's what Judy is like, Spider-Man's aunt in the Tom Holland.
I feel like
there's been a lot of
I feel like Pan M would be the better aunt. Like, you know, the cool aunt that everyone has, the stereotypical cool aunt. I feel like Pan M would be a good cool aunt.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want her to be my mom. Yeah.
Yeah. Judy's the responsible one. Pan M's the fun one.
Right.
Pan M, you have to go pick up because she got drunk.
Right. Probably. Yeah, she's the one that by 16 years old, you're the one parenting her. Yeah.
Yeah. She'd be the one. She'd be the cool aunt asking you for money so that she can go buy booze.
Right. Like, right.
What? Well, that's the thing. I think Rogue is more the motherly figure, or Misty.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Misty would be like the best fantastic mom.
That's why I picked Misty.
Oh yeah.
All right, so let's open this up then. Of all the women, who would you rather, who would be your best friend?
Be my best friend out of all.
You see, that's the ultimate question.
Like, which one would be your best friend? Like, you role playing yourself in the world as V, role playing, you're just, you are being yourself, making decisions that you would make in that situation. Who would you, who would be your, like, go-to buddy? Who would be the one that you're just like, you're there with me?
Probably Pan M for me, still. That's the kind of, like, friends that I make, as far as, like, she's kind of got the attitude of, like, my like, IRL best friend.
They go out in the desert and they shoot people and steal their things.
Yeah,
and,
they are, they're a merc, hired assassin.
Hired assassins who work with, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'm going to say Rogue.
She would be your best friend?
Yeah, most likely the best friend. She'd give stuff to me straight and no nonsense.
That's a good quality, too, for a best friend.
I'm gonna go with Claire. I think Claire would be a great best friend. She knows how to mix drinks. She gets all the great stories from Afterlife.
That's true.
She has a really, really bitchin' car. She's totally secure in herself. And, you know, wants to have a nice family. I think she, you know, outside of the, you know,
the murder husband
dying
thing.
Which, I mean, come on, I'm a murderer too in this aspect. So I guess, you know, as me, I think Claire would be a really fun person just to chill with. She would be the one out in the garage with you, just chilling, having a couple drinks, talking about in the next race coming up.
Yeah.
Everyone else I think is someone that I'm either interested in or is a little too extreme for how chill I would rather be.
I wish that
I pick Jackie.
He's not a lady. Yeah.
If Jackie was female, it would be Jackie.
I wish we could have. So this made me think of this. I kind of wish that we had been able to like rope Claire in more. I wish that we could have gotten Claire to join the Alicados.
Oh, that'd have been cool. Because
I feel like she doesn't have anything left here, and like she's great with cars.
Yeah,
and like she'd make a great nomad. Is she not? She would. Was she not a nomad? Did we learn about? Maybe she was a nomad, and then
maybe
I don't know. You know, went to the city life. Who knows? But I feel like she'd be a great Aldecaldo.
Yeah,
that would have been cool.
Yeah. Well, I don't. Well, her husband was a corpo, so I don't know.
Yeah. Did everybody answer best friend? I don't think
I think just Judy, because I feel like she'd be the easiest one to have kind of a natural conversation with. It'd be either her or Misty. And just like thinking about like going on a long car drive or going on an adventure, like who's going to be low key, not going to wear you out, going to be, you know, they're going to have your back.
Yeah.
And also I feel like, you know, her job is basically bleeding the lines between reality and fiction. And so like that's what a brain dance is, you know? And so you'd got to imagine that, you know, she'd have some pretty interesting like philosophical thoughts, and I don't know, someone who like simultaneously loves the energy of Night City, but also is really into the concept of escapism. No, like wanting to get out.
Yeah, I think I want to choose T-Bug because she's snarky and she's the kind of person who would be like, "Oh my God, you won't believe what I got to do at work today," and then you'd have those conversations. But we gotta wrap the episode up, guys. Thank you for joining me. This has been super fun. Of course, there's 100 million other things we could be talking about, but we're just gonna have to hold that onto that until next week or next month, and or you know, chat on the Discord or whatever.
We want to talk about males next time.
We could, or we could have a whole episode about Judy and Pan Am.
Can we talk about the romances next episode? Sure. So that it's just not just the Judy and Pan Am episode?
Sure, sure. It could, we could talk about
romance options.
You got Carrie, you got River. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Granted, the game literally made Carrie and River not as...
interesting?
Interesting. Accessible as Judy and Pan Am.
They're not until the end, too.
I disagree.
Well, now we've got something to discuss. All right,
I like River.
Yeah. Well, let's go back through everybody.
I like River too, but his romance doesn't have anything. His quest doesn't have anything to do with romance.
Let's go back through. Do you guys have anything you want to shout out or want to tell people how they can get a hold of you, Kather or Toasty? Let's start with Toasty. We'll go back reverse alphabetical. Toasty.
Oh no, you put me on the spot,
Toasty.
I don't know what to say.
You got anything working on working, or you just want people to say hi to you on Discord?
Sure, say hi to me on Discord. That'd be nice. Watch me play Sea of Thieves with Tom.
Yeah.
On Showdown or whatever game I've been playing with Tom because I intrude on all his game time.
That's right. Yeah. We're best game buddies now. It's like,
yeah. Like, he keeps telling me to go away. Like, he's muting his mic.
What? No, you keep throwing me in the stream. You keep throwing me in the brig.
What? No, I didn't do that. That was Kirby Chew.
Listen.
Blame your child.
You and the rest of the crew threw me in the brig and then burned the boat down. So we're just going to leave that there. I didn't do anything wrong. Let's move on to Kather. Kather, what do you got going on?
I don't have anything really going on. You can reach out to me on Discord. I may not respond right away because I work nights. But I will eventually respond as long as it's not three pages deep back.
Right. Okay.
Can I say people need to stick around and listen to your next podcast tonight?
Yeah, stick around.
Mass Effect 1.
Stick around. Yes. Mass Effect Lorecast coming up next. Episode 2.
I gotta go to sleep though.
Yeah, well, get some sleep if you need to. But thank you. Thank you for that call out. I'm J. Ray. I'm just gonna call you that because your name's up on the thing.
Yeah,
that's sure. Easier for me to
be able
to
read
it.
Julian?
Julian. I'm glad you joined us. You had a lot of really great input and perspectives on things to share.
Thanks, man. I'm excited to see where this goes also. I mean, it's such a crazy world. I can't wait to see how the game evolves. Also, hopefully we get something better than whatever the hell CD Projekt Red is doing with the game now.
What? You don't like your rock and roll car physics?
You shake your car?
No, but...
Back and forth?
I just wanted to see Logan's reaction.
So over it.
I wanted to see Logan lose it.
God.
Yeah.
Don't get me started.
I mean, I guess Instagram. Living in Epic. So living.an.epic. That's just it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool, man. And Logan, what do you have going on? Sea of Thieves still going well?
Yeah, Sea of Thieves is going great. We just did our community episode this week. There's some stuff that I'm going to be diving into lore-wise next episode. And we're in the middle of the Vault Hunters event. So if you want a lot of gold, now's a great time to jump on, go do some events, and get some free gold hoarder cosmetics out of it. Other than that, feel free to hit me up on Discord. I've been loving the discussion around the patch 1.2. content. I would love to know that I'm not alone in thinking that we should probably expect a little bit more out of these patches if this is the addressing that they're going to be addressing the concerns that they're going to be doing. So, but you know, here's hoping that they hear this and that they, you know, kind of think a little bit more about the systems.
Yeah, I would love a much better description as to the long-term plans of the game. That would go a long way to say like, hey, this is just a stopgap. We're actually working on this in the background. Just please be patient. You know, that would be helpful.
Hey, Logan, did you want to shout out that Glitterbeard thing you were telling me about earlier?
The Glitterbeard thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So in last year, Rare, the studio that makes Sea of Thieves, lost one of their coworkers.
Oh, yeah.
It was really, really rough. And I'd known about it for a long time, but they released a Glitterbeard event because that was kind of what he was known for, was the legend of Glitterbeard, kind of his handle. So they put out a whole bunch of journals that kind of touch on the stories that he had in there. But there's an event that is going on that you have to have 8 people to do it. And we're planning on trying to get people in it. So every Friday and Saturday, we're trying to get people in the Keelhauled community to get together to get a couple ships on a server so that we can go take people out to go do that. So if you've heard about this and maybe interested in seeing what this commemoration to Glitterbeard was, and get to get a sense of like what the studio did for one of their team members in the game, it's a very touching, very kind of, it's hard. Like, I was straight up sobbing when I was going into it, but it was a great time to spend with my community members and really made me cherish their friendship. So if you've heard about this a little bit, maybe if you've been playing around, get in touch and let me know, and we'll see if we can get you into a crew so you can actually experience it.
Awesome. Well, I've got my stuff going on. We've got the Mass Effect Lorecast coming up next. We have we've been getting together with the Robots Radio community on Saturdays, either in the afternoon or evening. 2 weeks ago, we played Among Us, and last night we played the Jackbox games, and we had a lot of fun. And man, it's great just hanging out with everybody, just having a goofy time. So come join us, be on the Discord, watch the streams. I've been streaming games in the afternoons and in the evenings. So we'd love for you guys to just plug in and join us here. We're having a lot of fun. So thank you for tuning in. And guys, thank you again for supporting us. And thank you to all of our patrons. You guys are amazing. Thank you for being here and helping to support the show. And we'll see you back with a regular episode next week. And hopefully we'll see all of you guys again next month, where we'll talk about more, maybe the romantic relationships and stuff. So, all right, guys, see you later. Have a good one.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Cyberpunk Lorecast. This show is a part of the Robots Radio Network, smart podcasts for interesting people. If you'd like to help support the show, please tell a friend and leave a 5-star review on iTunes. If you'd like to get in contact, please send an email to cyberpunklorecast@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter at cyberpunklore. Also, join the community on the Robots Radio Discord. The link is in the show notes. The music on the show was written and performed by The Midnight and was used with their permission. Go check them out at themidnightofficial.com. Until next time, stay safe in Night City. We'll talk to you later.
You've been listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.
Are you an avid player of The Elder Scrolls Online and looking to take your game to that next level? Well, the Red Diamond Courier podcast is here to help. I'm Bob Chachinski.
And I'm DogBark24.
We are two experienced players aiming to help others learn and improve through in-game knowledge and references.
From PvE
to PvP
and everything in between.
There's sure to be something for you in the Red Diamond Courier.
We hope you check us out. Thanks!
Have you ever wondered how deep the Elder Scrolls lore rabbit hole goes? Have you got a grasp of the basics and want to find out more about the universe? Written in Uncertainty is here to help you. We'll be mixing in philosophy, theology, and whatever other theory is useful with Elder Scrolls texts to untangle some of the biggest questions in the series, like what are Dragonbreaks, how does Chim work, where did the Dwemer go, and more. Check us out at writteninuncertainty.com or find Written in Uncertainty on any podcatcher. Thanks for listening, and catch you later in the Grey Maybe of Tamriel.
Do you love Dragon Age? Have you always wanted to learn more about its vast world and detailed lore? Are you still attached to your hero of Ferelden, even a decade after Dragon Age Origins came out? Or maybe you're a newer fan, still discovering a new tidbit or quest every day.
Well, either way, the Dragon Age Lorecast is the podcast for you. I'm Austin, also known as Teacup.
And I'm Shelby, also known as SheCup.
And come and join us as we embark on a journey to explore and discover all things Dragon Age.
We'll discuss all kinds of topics, from Lyrium to the Chantry and the great mysteries of the old gods, and even more that even you BioWare superfans might not know about.
So come and listen on Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast. And always remember,
swooping.